Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Steve, and our congregation is pleased to share this message with you today, and we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Blessings as you listen or watch.
Psalm chapter 68. If you're traveling a lot this summer, please let us know, and we can pray for you and your travels. We have several that are away right now, and so it's good to get away. Next week we'll be here, then the following week we'll be away visiting family, and so good time to go see people. The dad you always wanted. How do you like that for a title, for a message? Psalm 68 is a passage that deals with a father, and that father being God the Father. So we'll be looking at that and unpacking this chapter here in just a moment. Bart Millard of Mercy Me had an abusive father in his childhood. Here's a picture of Bart and his family. And no matter if you like the genre of music or not, the story is wonderful for us to learn from. And a good example for us. And if you ever look at the film that's called I Can Only Imagine, it's a powerful, it's a challenging film. I think every man should really look at this. Well, Bart's mother left his father and ran away from that situation. He was abusive towards the mother and towards the two sons as well. In the film, it's just one son, just to tell that story, that part of the story. But Bart felt all alone. His mom was gone. He's there with his abusive dad. It was a terrible situation. But he met Jesus at the summer camp that his church went to. His mother had dropped him off, and then he didn't see her after that. She left during that week of camp. But during that week, he met Jesus Christ, and he became a follower of Christ. He started to journal. He started to write Bible verses. He started to draw some of the things that he would hear in church about Christianity. Well, he comes home. His mom's gone. The abuse continues even after he met Jesus. But Bart eventually discovered his purpose and reason for life in music. And he started to develop into a singer, a vocal musician. After several years of music tours, he came home to find his father with cancer and about to die. And it was rocky for a little bit when he returned home and he found him. But he recognized that not only had the cancer changed his life, but God had changed his father's life. He said, that day you went to sing at church, I turned on the radio and I heard you sing. And he said, after then, I started to listen to the preacher, and he became a follower of Jesus as well. And slowly over time, he started to change. But his son was gone, of course, and you can't take back a lot of those harsh times in life. Bart wrote in his journal, after several weeks spending with the last few days with his dad alive, he wrote in his journal, he said, life's not fair. He said, life's not fair. This just does not seem fair. He said, now I have the dad I've always wanted. You know, it's hard to find fathers in general today. But that statement's just so challenging, isn't it? To be the father that you always wanted, or to find the father that you always wanted. The film, I Can Only Imagine, will shake your life up. I encourage you, watch it. We have a copy. We'll have it in the bookstore soon for you to take and look at as well. So let's look at our passage here and consider this as fathers today, as children. If you had a father who was active in your life, thank the Lord for that. If your father was absent, you know, there's some challenges maybe. Maybe he was just preoccupied all the time. And maybe he was there, but it was like he was absent. I mean, even just, you know, your mind can be far off and you're there physically, but your mind is somewhere else. And that's something that I can contend with as well. Maybe you had an abusive father and you have wounds and scars physically or emotionally as well. Maybe you were abandoned. Maybe you were abandoned. A lot of times the father abandons the mother, but in turn abandons the children as well. And so whatever your situation, I want you to know something today. God will adopt you. No matter what it was, no matter what your upbringing is right now or what it can be or what it could be in the future or whatever your case is, God can adopt you into his family. You have a Father in heaven who will adopt you. And so I want to encourage you today from this passage, live as children of the Heavenly Father. Live as children of the Heavenly Father. And today I'd like to describe to you the dad you've always wanted. And that's not going to be me for my kids probably. It's going to be God the Father. The dad that you've always wanted. Psalm 68, look in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol, that means lift up, him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, J-A-H, and rejoice before him. Jah is the Hebrew shortened version of Jehovah or Yehovah. And so this is the only time you'll find it in Scripture. It's very rare that you'll find it in any writings. And so his name, call him by his name, Jah. Then the verse continues, verse 5, then, a father of the fatherless. And a judge, that means defender or protector of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. That's who he is. A father to the fatherless and a judge or defender of the widows. God setteth a solitary, that means someone who's singular or alone, in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped. That means it rained at the presence of God. Even Sinai was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. We can live as children of our Heavenly Father. In verse 5, he says, a father to the fatherless. The word father is the word Ab. Abraham, Av is Hebrew with a V there, so Abraham, father of many nations, Abraham. Abba is another form of this in Greek, so a father, but notice that word fatherless, it means an orphan. So fatherless, but here's someone who has no one, nobody is what he's speaking of. You see, God is a father to those in need of a father or of a mother. God is the one who is readily available, and God can adopt you, and God will adopt you. You can be in God's family, and you don't have to live a life of solitary, like the word solitary is here, of just being by yourself. God is there for us. The United States is number one. The United States is number one in fatherless homes in the entire world. It comes to this number. It's a big number here. 18.5 million children without dads involved in their life. You see, God adopts those who need a father. How many children are awaiting adoption? You think about adoption. It's a great concept, a great theme. It's a great thing in Scripture as well. God adopts us. When you trusted Christ, did you know that Not only is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're passed from death into life, your sins are forgiven, your sins are remitted, there's remission of our sins, there's cleansing of our sins, there's a lot of things that takes place, but you're also adopted at the same time. When you're born again, you're also adopted into God's family. So you can be adopted in a spiritual sense into God's family today. So when it comes to real adoption in the United States, there are 400,000 children in foster care. Approximately 117,000 are waiting to be adopted. But I don't understand these numbers because 2 million couples are waiting to adopt. And there's all these kids waiting. I mean, there's only 117,000 only, but 2 million are waiting for adoption. I don't understand that. It means 36 for every one child, 36 couples for every one child's waiting for a child to be adopted. So I don't understand that. Maybe some of you could figure that out. It seems like there's backlogs or, you know, things, too much paperwork or something. I don't know, for that not to take place faster. Adoption is a great alternative, a great option. Tim Burke, Major League Baseball player, here's what he said. When Christine and I found out in 1986 we weren't able to have children, he said she wanted to adopt, but I didn't think I'd be able to love another person's child. His wife started praying that December, says Tim. Suddenly, he said, I had a deep desire to adopt. I knew the Lord was doing something with a total turnaround in my heart. The next December, Tim and Christine adopted a Korean girl. Then in 89, while on his way to a 9-3 record with the Yankees as a relief pitcher, they arranged to adopt a Guatemalan boy during the midseason. Here's what he said. He said, I felt that adopting Ryan was more important. He was going to go to the All-Star game, but the adoption came up where they could go to Guatemala. And so they worked it out where he could play quickly the All-Star game and went right from there to Guatemala to pick up their son. He said they worked out the plans. And he said, I felt that that was more important than even making the All-Star team, was bringing our son home, adopting this boy. He said, the intense love that I have for my children liberates me to understand God's unconditional love for us. Listen, everyone needs a father in heaven, and he's there. There's a father in heaven, and you can have him as your father today. Every person needs God to be their heavenly father, to be born again, and at the same time to be adopted into his family. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And so God is ready to adopt you, and we can live as children of the Heavenly Father. So what does this Father in heaven look like? Let me describe to you the dad you've always wanted. In verse 5, a father of the fatherless. Now notice in verse 2, verse 1 and 2, we have a lot of descriptions leading up to this phrase, a father of the fatherless. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. You see, God is a winner. God is a winner. And because we're sons and daughters of God, we also participate and are blessed because he is a winner. He is also to be praised in verse 3 and 4. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Not just like, oh, let's praise God. No, we're exceedingly praising God with our life. And sing unto God, like you were singing so well just a moment ago. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol means to lift up. Him that rideth upon the heavens by his name jaw, and rejoice before him. So we're praising the Lord, our Father in heaven. He also offers perfect judgment. Notice how he's the father of the fatherless and a judge. The word judge has the idea of a defender or a protector. He's the one who can right all the wrongs and figure out all the details to make things right. And as people, we don't always get it right, even with our best efforts, but God always gets it right. A judge of the widows, and he'll take care and protect. He offers perfect judgment. God is all-powerful. In verse 7 and 8, O God, thou wentest forth before thy people when thou didst march through the wilderness. Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped. It's speaking of rain at the presence of God. Even Sinai was moved at the presence of the God of God, the God of Israel. Now, David wrote this song, and he sent it over to the chief musician. He wrote the song. He sent it to the chief musician. I don't know how the tune would have gone. You know, it's kind of hard to sing these songs for us today. But he's speaking of something historical in verse 7 and 8. When God provided for his people when they were going through the wilderness. Now, David takes place hundreds of years after the wilderness wandering. So they leave Egypt. Moses leads God's people, and then Joshua takes them into the promised land. Then you have 180-some years of the judges judging Israel. Then you have King Saul. Then you have David coming along. So that's kind of the time frame here. He's referring back to their wilderness wanderings and some of the times where they were attacked and how God would provide a way for victory, even like during the times of the judges. Sometimes there would be battles, and God would have a big storm come up, and then the enemy would be defeated because it's so muddy, they can't walk around and fight like they'd like to. And so he's speaking of God giving the victory here, being all-powerful, even all-powerful over all of his creation of what we call nature. And so he's all-powerful. God also provides what is needed in verse 9. Thou didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Now he's talking about even times when going into the land, they need their seasons, they need their cycle, they need to have the crops to grow and things like this. And so he provides what's needed. And God is kind to the poor people, the poor in verse 10. Thou hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. So these are just some of the many descriptions, and there are a lot more verses in this chapter that tell us about our God. This is a triumphant God that we are serving, and he's the triumphant God who's our Father, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. He's a perfect Father. In Psalm 10, verse 14, thou hast seen it, for behold, thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art a helper of the fatherless, of those with no mother or father, of an orphan. And what a wonderful God. He is a perfect Father. Listen, men, we want to be more like God. None of us will be a perfect father. Kids, my family, I'm not a perfect father. There's a lot of things I need to change and grow in as well. And it's okay to admit that, guys. Okay? You know, get off the high horse for a little bit. And it's all right. You know, we are total mess-ups a lot of the time. And it's amazing. God still loves us. He still loves us. And so he's the perfect Father. Let's imitate him. God is the perfect Father. Number two, God has a place for you. Oh, I love this idea here. In verses 5 and 6, he's the father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows. God is in his holy habitation. That's heaven. He's in his holy habitation. God setteth. That means to sit, to remain, or to dwell. He setteth. He puts them in a place. He sets them in a place where they can live or dwell in the solitary, in families. I circled the word in. I circled that word because he takes solitary people, people who are lonely, people who have nobody else, nowhere else to turn. And he takes you, whoever you are, wherever, whatever your situation is, he'll take you and put you in a place that he describes in these verses here. And notice this place, in families. He puts people in families. Now, this has the idea of a home, a family. Not just a house, but a home, a family. God can make a house a home. You live in a brick and mortar or a stick built or some kind of a house, and that's a physical dwelling, but he can put us in a home with people, with others. God can give an individual a family. Now, we have blood relatives on earth, And haven't you heard this phrase before, that the friends are the family that we choose? The friends are the family that we choose. On top of that, we have a Christian family. We have a church family comprised of brothers and sisters in Christ, people who have trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're looking forward to that day. And then we'll be the perfect people God wants us to be. Now, notice this place for just a moment. It's a place of peace. Think about your relationship with God the Father. In Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God. Sons of God, inside Christ, not outside Christ. In the family of God, not outside of the family of God. My name's in the book of life, not outside of the book of life. So we have peace with God. We have peace of mind. We have peace of heart. We have peace with one another. This is only something that can happen because of God's love in us. And this place that he puts us in, God will set us in a place of peace. Also, it's a place of purpose, because God gives us a sense of belonging. God gives us a sense of reason, and everyone has an opportunity. Everyone has a responsibility. Everyone has a calling. Every Christian has a calling as part of God's family. You see, God wants to include you. I mean, that just screams, there's a purpose for your life. There's a reason for you to be here. There's a reason for us to be here on this day and living in this era in 2022. And we just need to find what that purpose is. God's called us, and he's put us in a place. What place has God put you in? Have you found your reason to be in this place, your purpose for this place? God has a plan for your life. Now, it's also a place of prosperity. And notice the holy habitation of verse 5. He setteth the solitary in families in verse 6. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Okay, so they have something that's chaining them up. It's like they're in prison. But he brings them out of chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now, when we read those that are bound in chains, we see that as a positive, but it goes a little bit further than even the idea of just simply being released from chains. The idea of these words here, there's four Hebrew words here, which are nine in English, but the idea is prosperity. Releasing is the word prosperity. He's giving them something, not just the negative, take the chains off, which is a positive, not just take the chains off, but he's giving them something else in addition. That's the idea of this, releasing them. So you think about a prisoner being released, okay, he has newfound freedom. He's not just thinking, oh, my chains are gone. He has something more now because his chains are gone. You kind of get the idea of that, and that's how this verse is reading here. Prosperity is the word. Prosperity is what he's talking about. They're released now to something that is good. Not just away from something bad, but to something that is good. So prosperity then, much of our prosperity, much of the blessings that we have in life are intangible. It's not real physical stuff. We think of prosperity and things, health and wealth, and you know, bank accounts and money and stuff and things. But it's so much more than that. You think about what you have in Christ, because God is your Father. You are set free from the power of sin. That's an intangible. It's very practical from day to day as well. You have freedom, not only from doing what is wrong, but freedom to do what is right. And you can have a joyful spirit. You can have a kind and generous spirit. You can be glad in Christ. Now, there's always going to be pain and suffering and problems that come up because we live in a sin-cursed world. There's always going to be those problems. But when you trusted Christ and when you were born again, adopted into God's family, you're released from the chains of sin and your obligation to continue in those sins, and you're released from that to do something to follow the Lord. And he gives all these intangible prosperity type blessings here. So joyfulness and gladness and peacefulness, all these types of things. See, our Heavenly Father then gives us a home in heaven, and there's where you find the prosperity and really the inheritance. If you read the Old Testament and some places in the New, you know what our real inheritance is? It's not just heaven. It's actually God himself. He's the inheritance. We get to be with him. That's the idea. We get to be with God the Father. Now, that's prosperity. Now, that's later on. Romans 8, verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's how we cry out to God. It's very personable to our God. So God is a perfect Father. God has a place for you, and God is present with you. Friends, he will never leave you. He will never leave you. Verse 6, "He setteth the solitary in families, bringeth out those which are bound in chains, but the rebellious dwell in the land." He setteth them in the solitary in families, and he's in his holy habitation. The idea is that I'm trying to convey with this is that he's always there. He's always there. He's actively involved. It's not like, oh, I'll set him there in like that old commercial for something. You know, you set it and forget it. Remember that? It was like for some kind of cooking thing. Set it and forget it. He doesn't do that. He don't just set you over here and forget about you. He's involved. He's active. He's interested. He's participating in your life. God is not far away. David said in another place, Psalm 25, 16, "Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." Well, in times like that, know that you can turn to God, and he's always been there. Just sometimes we don't sense it or recognize it because of whatever else we're looking at. Hebrews 13, 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said," Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So Psalm 68 is a message from God to David that we receive today about how the Lord affirms, how he appreciates, how he is really accepting of his people. And God does not leave us alone. If you feel like I'm just all alone, you're not in a solitary place. Find God. If you're a Christian, you can find him. He's right there. He's right there. Look for him in the Bible. Find him in prayer. Talk to him in prayer. Now, dads, let me challenge each of you, and every man, every person can take something from this message today. Be a present participant in your family. Include some of these things that we find in these verses 5 and 6. How God is actively involved in our lives. There's affirmation. Affirmation is needed so much. Kids need affirmation. Now, we say, I love you, but we need to express that love in our time spent and our actions and things that we demonstrate to give that affirmation that you are valuable, you are important, and I do love you. That's so needed today. We live in a performance-based society. Have you noticed that? Now, I understand in business, you know, you have productivity reports and things like this, but when you think about how our society is, and some of us are really into this as well, is we value people based upon what they can do, or we devalue them based upon what they can't do. Okay, that's performance-based. You know, if you get straight A's, I'll love you. Now, you'll never say that, but sometimes our kids feel that. And they may get D's, and you still should love them anyway, or C's, or whatever. You get the idea. A performance-based drive can be very detrimental. You can love, you can have all the best intentions, but sometimes we don't express that love and that affirmation, I still value you. You're still very important to me. In spite of all David's shortcomings and sin and wrong, God said, I'm a father for those who don't have anybody. I'll be right there for you. I'll lift you up. I'll give you a home. I'll put you in a good place. I'll give you a purpose in life because he values us. He values you. So be a present participant in your family. Affirmation. Do this to make God love you more. That's not true. Some people think, well, if I do this, then God will forgive me. If I do that, then he'll love me more. That's not true. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. You know, if my good outweighs my bad, then maybe God really will forgive me, and then it doesn't work that way. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. He accepts you, like the expression says, lock, stock, and barrel. All of you, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. That's how he accepts us. So make sure that you're showing affirmation. Coaching the 9- and 10-year-old baseball team, these little boys, kind of struck that nerve in me to see a young guy swing a bat, and this happened so many times, swing a bat, strike three, and by the end of the season, this didn't happen as much, called strike three. I was like, just swing the bat, guy, swing the bat. Swing the bat, however they would, strike out. And as soon as they would turn around, the tears flying. Some of these guys, every at bat. At one point, I started to arrange the order, who's going to cry least to be last, or the most to be last, because it's so discouraging for the other guys. I mean, really, it is. It's like, that guy got me out, so nobody can hit, you know. It's that dramatic sometimes. So I actually had to think through that a little bit. It's a performance-based mindset, perhaps. I mean, I don't know. I actually called my parents and said, hey, when I was 9 and 10 playing on these baseball teams, do you remember, please tell me, did I ever cry after a strikeout? Because I strike out just like anybody, and I tell these kids, these boys, everybody strikes out, even the pros. Man, don't worry about it. You get another chance. Did I cry? Like, dad and mom was like, no, you never cried. Now, I remember crying when I couldn't throw anymore with a torn rotator cuff. I remember crying when I couldn't walk for 3 months with a bad ankle injury because, like, God, why is this happening to me? But I remember tears in times like that. There's a performance, there's a push, like, you got to do this, perform at this level. And parents, if you don't watch out, your kids will think you don't love them or that they're not valuable. God loves us, and he's that perfect example. So make sure that they know that you value them, that you affirm their value. I told the boys, and I tried to emphasize it several times in our team huddles, look, guys, I chose you on the team. I saw you at tryouts, and I wanted you on the team because you're an important part of this team. To the guys who would hit the ball and to the guys who wouldn't. To the guys who would catch the ball and to the guys who would drop the ball. We need to be like that. We need to do that. We need to make sure we show that, and I need to work on that just as much as well. How about appreciation? We love our kids, but we don't always express appreciation. Appreciation is the recognition and enjoyment of the good qualities of someone or something. It's basically like, I'm going to catch them doing right and tell them about it. Sometimes we don't even say thank you, or you did a good job, or this was really awesome, or way to go. And most of the time, And maybe you're like me, most of the time it's like, hey, you could do this better. And straighten up and challenge. And we need challenge. We need to do things with excellence. But we also need to make sure we express appreciation when we find our kids doing something right. And that's so important as well. So it goes back to that word acceptance then. God accepts us. Listen, don't just correct your kids. Make sure you also affirm them and accept them and show them appreciation. Acceptance then. Accept them. Kids are not an inconvenience. They're not an inconvenience. You want to avoid getting to the place where your children feel like they're in the way. Sometimes they feel like they're in the way by things that are said, things that are done, the schedules, things like this. Make sure that they know that you accept them. Include your kids in your hobbies. It's okay. Include them in your hobbies. When you're working on something, work on it together with them. And maybe it slows you down with the dishes. Maybe it slows you down with hitting the stuff with the hammer. It's all right. It's all right. And just go a little bit slower. It's all right. Do work together. Play games together. Spend time together. When Bart Millard wrote his song, I Can Only Imagine, he was thinking about what heaven would be like and walking the streets of gold and finding his father and finding Jesus there. And he imagined his dad with God. And the words, I can only imagine, is the idea of that entire song going through just really scenes that he is imagining in his mind about what heaven would be like. And his father died Bart's father, died. And while singing this song for the first time in front of a live audience, the filmmakers captured this moment incredibly well. As he's singing this song, they fade the audience out, and the only person there in the audience who was standing up for the first time, clapping for him, was his dad. As he was singing, "I Can Only Imagine." Listen, in your soul, you know this. You need affirmation. "Look, Daddy, look at what I'm doing. Look at how far I can jump. Look at this. I'm climbing the tree." It's affirmation. It's acceptance. It's approval. You want that. Even today, you could be 70 years old, you still want affirmation. Let's give affirmation to one another. Let's be dads who are like God, who offers acceptance and this type of encouragement. His father was standing clapping for him, and that's something that every one of us wants. It could be somebody not even related to you, but you're giving them affirmation. It'd make all the difference in the world. I'm not talking about affirming sin or, "Hey, you did wrong, and man, let's celebrate that." It's not what I'm talking about. Everyone needs to know they're valuable, that they're accepted, that they're loved by you and loved by God. Now, all this to say, that's the dad you've always wanted. God the Father, the all-powerful, almighty God. All of us can be challenged, men and women alike, young and old, to be a little bit more like Christ, a little bit more like our God in heaven. Let's take some moment and pray together. Thank you for your good participation. As people who are Christians, we need to live knowing we have a God in heaven and live as children of our Heavenly Father. He's perfect. He has a place for you, and He's present. He'll never leave you. Maybe there's a friend listening right now, and your prayer is this: "God, help me to be a more involved parent. Let me accept my children, to show appreciation to them, and to affirm their value. With God's grace, that's what I want to do, to be more involved as a parent." And maybe you're not a parent, or maybe your kids are already grown. Still show those types of qualities, and maybe just start showing these qualities to other people. That's my prayer. May God help me to be more involved with acceptance, appreciation, and affirmation. Anybody like that? Some hands were already being raised. God bless you. Good, good. Take some time to pray about that. Assess your relationships in just a moment and your parenting style and whatever you're doing with interaction with other people. Our second question then, for all the friends here who may not yet have Jesus as their God: God the Father is not their father yet. They need to be born again. They need to be adopted. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here and you want to know more about salvation. How can I be saved? Can I become a child of God? Is there anyone like that? I just want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to know more about how to be adopted, how to be saved, how to be a child of God. Anybody like that? All right. Thank you. Take just a moment, Christian, and pray about your interaction with others to being more like God the Father. Heavenly Father, we are so amazed at your love for us. We thank you sent your Son, Christ, to die in our place. This love, this value that you demonstrated, it's just incredible. Help each of us to follow your example of being a father to the fatherless, the defender, the protector of the widow, of doing all these things so well and right and perfect. Let us be more like you in all of our relationships. Lord, we have different feelings on Father's Day. There's a lot of different emotions that come through our hearts and lives. No matter what our upbringing or situation was or is, Lord, we thank you that we can look to you, the dad that we've always wanted. So help each one with these different thoughts here today. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for hearing our prayer. We do pray for safety now as we go, and we look forward to worshiping you again next time. And we rejoice in Christ, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If your father's still around, tell him thank you. And, you know, if there's hurts and things, give forgiveness. Ask God to help you with that as well. And if he's in heaven already, give thanks to the Lord for your father. We are going to be dismissed now. So thanks for being here today. God bless you. Have a good rest of the day.